We'll give everyone a warm welcome at our service tonight in the name of the Lord, and it's good to be gathered again this evening. And I have no sermon as such tonight. I'm wanting to continue with the first week I shared from the Gospels, where Jesus healed, and then last week we saw where that healing continued in the church. And tonight I want to continue on and show where it's in the epistles. So it's not just in the Gospels on an end, right into the book of Acts, but it's also in the epistles. We can see healing, and I have no scripture notes as such, just scriptures, but no notes as such. So I don't know what will be said and what won't be said, but you just pray the Lord will help us. And let's just stand while we read from Romans 15, verse 17 to 19. The Lord bless each one tonight. Please keep Aaron in prayer as well. We want the Lord to restore him, but he needs a touch in his body as well. So keep Aaron in prayer as well, and appreciate the prayers that have already been prayed for Eileen and Andrea and Sister Eileen's mom as well. Praise God. Let's read from verse 17 of Romans 15. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Verse 18 of Romans 15. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ have not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about onto Illyricum, I might be saying, but I can't get the word out. Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand before the Lord tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. A lot of needs. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we want to say from the very start of that service, Lord, we're only here because of your grace. The enemy would have spoiled us, killed us if he could, put us in an early grave. But we thank you tonight for mercy indeed rewrote our lives. We could say with a hymn writer tonight, I should have fallen and my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote our lives tonight. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We magnify the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We plead the merits of that precious blood afresh in our lives and over this house and all that's near and dear to us. We plead and place upon each and every one the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that every vain imagination be cast down, reasoning be cast down, and let the mind of Jesus Christ be in each one of us tonight, Lord, as we submit ourselves to you and resist the devil. We know he'll have to flee. And we pray for peace of mind, Lord, and that you'll have your way in our lives and in our midst. And Father, you'll touch people tonight for the hands raised. Meet every need, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, cover us and wash us in your blood. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, and I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I come against every demon power in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll have your way in this house. Meet every need. Answer the prayers that's been prayed. And we do pray again for Eileen, for Auntie Eileen, for Sister Eileen's mum, for my Andrea, for my brother Aaron. Restore him and heal him and touch him in the name of Jesus Christ. For others that's not saved. And Father, for people that's not here tonight, bless them, be with them. Maybe some had to work or some couldn't make it, but be with them. We pray and be with us as here. Meet with us and speak with us from your word for a time this evening. And we praise you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Preaching with healing, fully preaching. And it's interesting. Evangelism, people always refer to evangelism. They preach the gospel and they refer to evangelism. Preach the gospel, they get saved, and that's true. But when you read of evangelism in the book of Acts, and you read of evangelism in the epistles, it's not just about getting saved. But the power of God worked with him. Signs and wonders worked with him. In verse 19 of Romans 15, through mighty signs and wonders by the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Iconium, Ilkrum, I have preached the gospel of Christ. So he's preaching the gospel of Christ, and the signs and wonders are following. So if we preach the full gospel of Christ, you know, there's a man one day and he saw a brother had a sign up, we're preaching the full gospel. And this man knew me and he knew this other man that had the sign up. And he says to me, Brother Tom, he says, what's this business, the full gospel? I says, well, some places our brother believes. I did too, but I didn't say it like that. But I believed it. I says, they don't preach the full gospel, they preach a bit of the gospel. And he basically laughed. But the disciples preached the full gospel. Now there's only one full gospel. There's only one real gospel. There's not a half gospel and a full gospel, really. To say there's a full gospel and a half gospel, to me, I don't see no Bible fact. There's one gospel. One gospel. And the one gospel is full gospel, isn't it? It's full. And they preached it, and the signs followed them. Praise God. And it says here, and I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And then it tells you all the signs followed. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 to 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I tell you, that's what we need. We need the power of God. We want the power of God. We desire the power of God. But there's one key you'll have to notice in our first two scriptures we've read already. The Spirit's mentioned. In Romans 15, it talks about the Spirit. And here in Corinthians, it talks about the Spirit and of power. And without the Holy Spirit, there's no power. And for us to have the power, we need the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy, we can't bring the power. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the power. You could get up here as dry as a stick. You could have nothing. You might even have a scripture that you felt quickened. But you just read one. And the Holy Ghost could fall on you and quicken you. And yet you could prepare yourself for weeks and have a great speech laid out. And not happen. It's not the truth. We are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And the Bible goes further. It says even Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus needed to be led by the Holy Spirit, and the disciples needed to be led by the Holy Spirit, and then the Bible tells us the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit, we need led by the Holy Spirit. It's the same if we're praying about a situation, whether it's work or something at home. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's really important, you know. Because when Jesus went back to heaven, he says, I will send you another comforter. And that word comforter means guide. He's not just a comforter and comforting us, that's true, but he's a guide. And the Holy Spirit guides us in every day. And the Holy Spirit guides us in decisions. When we pray, we need the Holy Spirit. And it's the same with preaching. You could say, I felt led to go a certain way of preaching. That's the Holy Spirit that leads you on that way. What you might preach the way, and you might say to yourself, well, I didn't plan that, but the Holy Spirit perhaps planned it. But if you're willing and obedient, the Holy Spirit can use you, even if you didn't really know it at the time, but the Holy Spirit can do it. And we certainly need the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Now, I'm deliberately highlighting scriptures from all the epistles here on different parts of the Bible to make an emphasis about the apostles and how God worked. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and mighty deeds. And you know, there's people today, and they're quick to talk about apostles and prophets. They're quick to say, he's an apostle. He's an apostle. But here, these were real apostles. And these apostles, this is what happened when you've got the apostles. Signs and wonders and mighty deeds followed them, because the Holy Spirit was with them. They were real, genuine apostles. Now, when you read about Paul, what do you read? Here's what you read. Not called by man, but called by God. That's a real apostle. Now, there's a lot of people called by man, but Paul was called by God. And because Paul was called by God, mighty signs and wonders followed him. Because he was called by God, and the Holy Spirit was certainly with him, wasn't it? Mighty signs, wonders, praise God, mighty deeds. Look at Acts 14, verse 3. And last week, I planned to go through all marked out my Bible, and it had all referenced out here to go through every different chapters to show you. But I never got time to do it. Then it said, I'll just leave it. But I hadn't the time last week. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly. Acts 14 verse 3. A long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So who done it? The idea that we're doing nothing, and the idea that we need to do it, it's the Lord that has to do it. The Lord doesn't do it and not be done. Now, we need to believe it. Like I tried to say last week, we have to have faith to believe it. But it is the Lord that does it. Let's say we were to fill this room tonight and there's 300 people come in here, and we were to preach the gospel to them about getting saved. The Holy Spirit would have to move them to get saved. And then God could confirm the word with healings, with miracles. But the Lord does it, and the Lord did it here. And he's never changed. He's still the same. But we need to expect the Lord to do it. We need to come to church, not just, well, it's another service, a bit of preaching and sing a few songs. But God maybe wants to give us something a wee bit different. Amen. Because the Lord wants to work. How many believe the Lord wants to work? Certainly wants to work. The Bible says I must work while it's day. And we're here and the Holy Spirit's moving. So these fellas here, the Lord gave them grace, the word of his grace, and he granted signs and wonders and miracles. Now, there's a lot of people on the internet recently, and I don't go on it because I looked at a couple of things and I decided I'm not looking at no more of them. But they really give William Branham the works. They've read him up to no end. Now, I'm not here to defend William Branham, but I do believe he was a prophet of God. I'll tell you that right now. And nobody will ever change him in that. I believe it. And I'm not saying he was the most perfect man, for there was no man was perfect. Every man's made mistakes. We know that. But there's one thing he was able to do that them men on there talking can never do. And they won't. And they can't. And you mark my words, it'll never happen with them. But when William Branham finished preaching many a time, after he finished the sermon, different subjects, different sermons, what did he do? He said, Lord, if I have preached the truth, you confirm it. Now, people can say it's the devil, but the devil has never started a healing ministry. And don't you believe that either. He's not into healing ministry. The Bible calls him a robber and a killer and a destroyer. But Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that casts devils out. William Branham, when he preached the word of God, and afterwards, and he said, Lord, if I have preached the truth, you confirm it. And he would pray and he said, Lord, that I might find grace. And this scripture spoke to me, verse 14, verse 3. These apostles found grace. Just the way William Branham prayed. Now here's a scripture. and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And it happened. Now I know as well, there's a lot of people read Oral Roberts up. He's done the prayer tower and different things. We mightn't agree with everything Oral Roberts done later in his life. But there's one thing I'm going to tell you. He was still a man of God. And the things that happened, the devil never done it. Have you ever saw the film that was made for the wee boy couldn't breathe or nothing? And they brought him to Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts prayed for him and God healed him. Absolutely healed him. And that young man became a powerful preacher. And you see them, he had a gift also in his hand, Oral Roberts did. There was an anointing come into one of his hands. And when that anointing came into his hands and he touched people, God healed them. And here the Bible says, by their hands. So there is that. It's scripture that God can do that. God can put a gift into a man's hand or hands. And if he touches you, you'll be healed. But it has to be the Spirit of God. But it happened in the epistles. Now, last week, the week before, we saw what Jesus done. We saw what the church is to do. We're seeing in the epistles tonight. Then we know what Malachi 3 and 6 says and Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God. It changed not. Malachi 3 verse 6. Whatever the Lord done, he can do again. But we need to be seeking for the Holy Spirit. Brother Gary mentioned it on Sunday. There's not enough emphasis. People do not realize the importance of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. And people that claim to be Pentecostal and they never talk about the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make sense. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to be inspired to preach by the Holy Spirit. Inspired to pray for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our guide. He's the one we want to lead us. Amen. And thank God for that wonderful guide. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. And I'm just picking it. You know what I thought about this when I did this? Someone said to me, oh, you're just picking scriptures out. And I thought to myself, think of this, brothers and sisters. Think of the people when they just bring quotes. And nobody says a word. Nobody says a word. I've went to some places and they just read quotes. Now there's nothing wrong with a man that they took it from. But just quotes. And they're jumping out of the seats. But I'm not reading you just a quote from any man or any just any place. This is the Word of God. This Bible is infallible. This here's our absolute. Amen. And we're quoting from it tonight. And I'll tell you one thing about this Bible. It's full of life and vitality. And there's not one word in it that's not inspired of Almighty God. And there's nowhere in it needs fixing. For it's absolutely perfect. And it's the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, for your sake. So it came in the power and assurance. And I tell you, we want God to come amongst us in power and assurance, don't we? Amen. Coming amongst us in power and assurance. Now I found myself, everybody's familiar here, and all of us, where some of us is related and everything, we're real familiar. But you can take them on from here and take them away somewhere else, and God will move one. For I've seen it. And then nobody will tell me different. I know what I'm talking about. And you go away out to somewhere else and nobody knows you. And you preach and God starts confirming. And God just does it. And you say to yourself, boy, isn't that wonderful? And then people say, let me see you doing that at home. You see, that's unbelief to make a statement like that. Let me see you do it at home. Because you can't let me see you do it at home. Because it's the Lord that does it. And if you can let me see you doing it at home, the person that says that to you, tell them, let me see you doing it at home. Isn't that the truth? It has to be God that does it. But it's like Jesus said, a prophet's no honor in his own country. And we saw there last week as well, there's places Jesus went, nothing happened. Nothing happened because they're full of unbelief. They weren't expecting it to happen. It never happened. But where the word of God was preached faithfully, and there was grace, and God moved, and people believed, God moved. God worked. Amen. Galatians 3 and 5 says this, Galatians 3 verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He does it by faith. He ministers to you through the Spirit by faith. Amen. So it's the Holy Spirit and it's the faith of God. That's what we need, isn't it? Amen. Now we can say we have it, but we want more. This is the thing about it, we want more. I get paid, you could get your wages, but your wages, you need more wages next week again. Because you've used them. And I tell you, when you're continuing, virtue can go from you as a person when you're preaching and things. But God can fill you again. Amen. And you know, people used to say to me years ago, and I've mentioned it, and you know what I'm going to tell you is if you have a good meeting on a Sunday, stay in bed on a Monday. But I came up on our plan with that years ago. Get back in the presence of God straight away on your own, by yourself. Don't let the devil keep you down on a Monday if you've had a good meeting on a Sunday. But on a Monday when you get up, come right at him. Give him the uppercut when you have him going. Spiritually, you know what I'm saying? Don't lie back for a great meeting. A lot of times we can have a good service. God's moved. I'm sort of lie back. We'll rest a bit. We'll take it easy. We need to keep on going. It's not works, but our works proves our faith. So we need to keep on it. Hebrews 3, verse 3 and 4. Look at this, what it says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. Do you know what a wonder is? Something that's incredible, isn't it? A wonder. A wonder is if somebody came in here with a broken leg tonight and they were healed and walked out. That's a wonder. Amen. A wonder. Not only was there signs done, there was wonders done. Wonders. God worked signs and God worked wonders. I heard of an African man, and I've no reason to believe it's not true. This man was mightily, mightily used of God. And we read his life story. He spent a lot of time alone praying with God when he started fasting and praying. And he had a tremendous visitation, a tremendous ministry. A lot of people in Ireland and England and all probably never heard tell him, but in Africa they know about him. And you read of how someone fell down in Paul's meeting and they were dead, and this man also had long meetings. A power of God was moving, thousands were there, many people were there, and someone fell down and they fell on a tiled floor and crushed their head open, and they explained it. It was very raw what they explained, the injuries and everything. And they said the thing that shocked them, that minister never moved. He never even let on it happened. He kept on with the service. But he prayed. And they were healed and raised back up. Now, I don't know if they're dead or not, but they look like it. And they're terribly injured. But he believed it. He believed it. You know, it's like Jack Coe. Jack Coe, the boy come looking, Jack Coe, and he come down looking, Jack Coe, and Jack Coe's down the elevator. And he says, I'm looking the healer. Are you the healer? And Jack Coe says, here, Lord, there's a fella here looking for you. And your fella says, no, you. And he says, no, you've got it all wrong. He says, I'm not the healer. He says, Jesus is the healer. And he says, Lord, there's a fella looking at you. No, and he did it about three times. And he said, Jesus is the healer. And you see, a lot of people come to a man and they're not healed. But when they come to Jesus, they'll get healed. He's never lost a patient. He's a healer and a savior of all men, especially those that believe. That's the Bible, isn't it? Amen. Verse 4. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, divers miracle gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to their will. No, his will. God's will. We can think what we want God to do, but maybe God's thinking different. Isn't that right? We can think we need to do certain things, but maybe God's thinking different. You ever prayed earnestly for something and you didn't get it? And you wondered and you fretted why you never got it. But what about when God says no to your dream? God sometimes can say no, because he knows the bigger picture. Amen. That's the truth. And I tell you, you know in the Bible, Solomon built the house of God. David, God didn't let him. His hands were hands of blood. Isn't that right? But he says your son will build it. But God wouldn't let him build it. He said no to him. God knows the bigger picture. Now we're looking at a hall, but how much are we looking at a hall? Are we really looking at a hall? Or are we only fiddling about? See, we say we're looking at a hall, but are we really? Are we really looking somewhere? Do we really want God to give us it? Or we're sort of happy enough and we're settled. We could be like the wee eagles in the nest with a rabbit fur under, so the kangaroo fur, and we're all right. But you see, if the time comes when God wants to move us out of here, he'll do it. I'm telling you, he'll make the nest uncomfortable. But he'll have somewhere for us. He'll go before us. He won't lead us into nowhere land, but he'll have somewhere for us all the time. See, let's look in the church also, look at some of the scriptures which should be in the church in James 5. We saw here on Sunday, the brethren prayed for people on Sunday. Here's a scripture. That's where to practice it, because it's the Bible. It's in the epistles. James 5, verse 14, 15. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them. Anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if he's committed sins, it shall be forgiven. Now, if you've been prayed for, if you were one that was prayed for on Sunday and anointed with oil, you need to believe. You need to expect a change. You need to be going out from here, not just saying, well, there it is, nothing happened. You need to repent if you have an attitude like that. I'm being honest with you. That's wrong. You need to believe. That's like the fella who got saved and then he said, I don't think I'm saved now because the devil's telling me all day. I'm not saved. And the wee woman said, well, tell me, I see her, did he ever tell you you weren't saved until you got saved? Said, no, he never named it till I got saved. She says, then you know you are saved. Because the fact that you're saved, he's telling you you're not saved. And I tell you, you need to believe. Now, you're not going on a feeling. You might get a feeling, you might not. There's times, same of preaching. You could get up here and you could feel anointed. And you could hardly hang yourself. I've got up here and I've been shaking, dropping glasses, all sorts of stuff, feeling anointed, powerful meeting, feeling great, jumping and skipping. And there's other times you don't feel a thing. Nothing. But it's not on the feeling, it's on the word of God. I'm not going on the feeling. The feelings could fail me. We heard it preached on Sunday, how a man of God was deceived with a feeling. He felt to her, but it was fake. And he was deceived. And he was working with the senses, smelling and the feeling, and the taste and the venison and all. He was deceived. Now, we know it was all God's plan, but you can't change the fact he's deceived. There's no changing it. And I tell you, that's why we must depend upon the word of God. And God can give us a feeling. And we could say it feels good, and that's the truth. But we're not working on the feeling. It's what the word of God says. The word of God says, if you're anointed with oil and you're prayed for by the elders, you'll be healed. So you believe it. Confess it. So when the devil tells you you're not looking much different, and you tell the devil to say, well, you look the same too. Terrible. But I feel great. Spiritually, even if I don't, I'm going to say it. Amen. I tell you, God doesn't want us to have the spirit of survival. He wants us to have the spirit of revival. Not survival, but revival. We need to confess it, say it, speak it. Praise God. 1 Corinthians, and I'm coming to close. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 9. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To who? Every man. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to the other, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God have set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And in Ephesians talks about pastors and teachers as well. It's a full fivefold ministry. Now you can't have a fivefold ministry run by one man. Now I know there's people preach that, but that's not scripture. That might be according to their whatever, but it's not according to the Bible. God has a fivefold ministry. And they're all needed. It won't be the same. It won't be the same. There's no point you saying, oh, but brother so-and-so, he didn't do what brother so-and-so here did and so-and-so here did. They won't. You won't want them doing it either. Because God's always original. Every stone in the wall is different, but they're all needed. And thank God for the fivefold ministry. Are you glad for the fivefold ministry? Amen. Look at verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 12. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And he's talking about love. But covet earnestly the best gifts. So we have a right to pray for the gifts of God. And we need to pray for them. We need to keep on praying. Let me ask you this, I'm reading one more verse, Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwell in you, Romans 8, verse 11. Now, how often would you pray for your loved ones to get saved? I'm not telling you to say it out, but I'm just saying. I can tell you there's not a morning. And I'm not telling you that to tell you I'm a big lad and I'm praying every morning. It's nothing to do with that. But every morning, get in the car before I go. My son doesn't come to church or anything. But it doesn't matter. He bows his head in reverence and we pray. Every morning, before we go anywhere, it's prayer. If we're late, makes no difference, still prayer. If we're early, prayer. And I've made it a rule. And no matter where I'm going or what's happening, prayer. And I pray for the family and for others and for those that need to get saved to get saved. See if we took the gifts like that. We pray at the odd meeting, maybe. Lord, will you give me a gift? And the Lord never hears it mentioned again. But you see, it's like Brother Gary said, you see the wee fella that really wants something. Isn't this true? He keeps asking for it until he gets it. And I told you about my wee lad, he thought he wanted a motorbike. And I never named it again. He never named it after. So there's never a bike got. Because I didn't want to be getting him a motorbike. But he mentioned to me one of the other boys got it. But see, the other boy got it, kept at it. He kept at it till he got it. But he never kept at it. He mentioned it once, it was never mentioned again. Then he changed his mind, you see. And God doesn't want us to change our mind. We could want something one day and a different thing. But if we're continually, like the wee woman kept coming, she kept coming, she kept coming, she kept coming. And if we keep coming and keep coming and keep saying, Lord, we need you to move in these meetings. The pastor can't do it of his own esteem. The elders can't, the deacons can't. None of us can do it of our own power. We're only men and women. We need you. We want your help. We want the Holy Spirit to move. Lord, we want our children saved. We want them to have a real experience. And I tell you, and then the gifts of Spirit, what do you desire? What do you really desire? Pray for it, and the Lord will give you it. What do you really desire? You'd have to sit down for a bit and think about that. What do you really desire? Pray for it, and the Lord will give you it. What do you desire tonight? Holy Ghost could give you it. Let's come and pray tonight. Come round the throne of grace. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth you've showed toward us. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit coming upon us, quickening us, making us alive, helping us. Lord, your word says when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Oh God, will you help us tonight? Will you move us tonight? Lord, some of us have come from all different minds today, as it were, from work, from different things. But Lord, we lay that all aside and we look to you tonight, just now. And I pray for those that's in this room now with a real, genuine desire. Lord, that whatsoever they desire when they pray, your word says they can have it when they ask it in my name. Lord, it's your word, and I pray you'll confirm your word. That as we're praying, as we're believing, confessing by faith, that your word's the truth. Forgive us our unbelief. Forgive us for our failures, for shortcomings. Help us to believe you and follow you and have faith in your word. Give us that very thing, that brother, that sister, the very thing that they're desiring. I pray you'll grant it to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, grant it to them. That they'll be fit to testify that you did grant it to them. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, there's so many times when you've blessed us. We're not forgetting. We're thankful, Lord, for the wonderful things you've done for us. When we didn't know what way to turn. We're in a corner. We're in a real fix. And no one seemed to come to our help. But Lord Jesus, you sent the answer. You provided the need. You've done it, Lord. Because you said you're the father of your children. And you love them. Lord, we love you tonight. Because you first loved us. And you gave yourself for us. When the enemy would have cut us off short, you spared us. Lord, and your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord God will raise up a standard against him. Raise a mighty standard tonight, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for those that was prayed for, will you bless them, touch them, bless the brothers and sisters in this room, and the means that lay ahead. And Father, for those traveling, bless them, be with them. And Lord, restore the backsliding, we pray. Bring them back to your own self. Think of my own brothers, David, Aaron, tonight. Lord Jesus, there's a desire that they'd come, that they'd be saved. Lord, that you'd work on them, that you'd deliver them. Lord, you know the things in their lives. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost will work on them and move on them and touch Aaron in his body from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Touch others that need your touch, Lord, I pray. And Lord, for families here that hasn't been mentioned or named loved ones, Lord, you know them. You know the secret prayers that's been offered. And Father, we just pray that you'll move them and bring them and save them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Father, if I've said anything wrong tonight, forgive me, I pray. Pray you'll help me, Lord, to be what you want me to be. Lord, I don't want to be something that somebody else thinks. But I want to be what you want me to be. And I acknowledge you in all my ways. And I commit my ways afresh to you. And I ask that you'll lead and guide by the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to seek the Lord tonight. Praise God.